Call Pastor Landis Fisher up. Amen. Before he come, I want to acknowledge that he just got voted in to be the pastor of St. Timothy. Amen. Amen. Pastor Fisher, along with the rest of our instructors, when you come up, you get your opportunity to give 3 minutes of fame and just kind of give a shout out of your ministry. Amen. And sometimes, even though we don't like to talk about us, it's good to know that we're doing more than stand up on Sunday morning.
All right.
Amen. Amen.
That's the Landis Fisher.
Amen.
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 God be the glory.
God be the glory. Amen. We thank God for Pastor and Sister Lucas.
Amen.
Amen. This is a wonderful conference. Thank God for every opportunity to come and share this Gateway Christian Leadership Conference. It is always very special. I particularly enjoyed the pastor's presentation.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So we'll get situated here and we'll move a little further, a little farther ahead. Want to give reverence to God and jump in working with a touch screen here. I'm going to go back to the mouse. And I give honor to God who is the head of my life and all of my life.
Amen.
And thank Pastor Lucas again for the invitation.
Amen.
Now, I'm pretty loud mouth. Once I get situated, I think you'll be able to hear me okay here. So let me get started. All right. I think we're coming up there. Amen. So I give you greetings from St. Timothy Missionary Baptist Church.
Amen.
And thank God for that appointment.
Amen. Amen.
Pastor Lucas and I were students there under the founding pastor back, I don't know how long, we're not going to tell our age here today. Dion's back, we'll put it like that. And so it's very special to me to have been called to pastor that particular church because I knew the heart of the founding pastor. He trained many leaders around our city in different areas. There are many pastors. All the folks who sat at the table with us, I think, are pastoring somewhere or another, or they're serving the Lord in whatever
Amen.
Capacity that had been given to them.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So having said that, I'm blessed to be there, and I invite you to pray for us, and I'd like to acknowledge my beautiful wife, which is seated
Amen.
There.
Amen.
Her name is Hope. I guess the Lord knew I needed her. Otherwise, I would be homeless. So anyway, having said that, I thank the Lord. That's why I told some people at our church, I told them, you know, the reason why God included the book of Ruth in the Bible, right? Because he didn't want the Bible to be a ruthless book. All right, so my topic today, which has been given to me, which I think is a very good one, is leading an informed team, maximizing my impact on the big picture. How will you, as the team members who are serving underneath your pastor, impact the big picture as we have been given the Great Commission? Go ye therefore in all the world, Jesus said, and teach all the nations. That's a big project. Have you ever thought about that, really? I mean, just let that sink down into your hearing. Go ye therefore, he told them, into all the world. Some Palestinian fishermen and little folks over there, carpenters, all the little folk that were doing everyday average jobs that he had taught, discipled for 3.5 years, had been crucified, buried, and risen. And he says to them after he gets up out of the grave, Matthew 28:18, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore into all the world and teach all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And then he said, hello, this part I love.
Yes.
I am with you always,
all right.
Even to
Amen.
The end of the world.
Yes.
So that means that this group here is an informed group also.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of us, when we become disciples of Christ, have entered into a learning process. And the church is what God has organized. Remember Jesus said, upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He said that to Peter at a particular point, when he was asking people, who do men say that I am? And they said, oh, some of them, they start saying different stuff, scuttlebutt that was going around town. And some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're one of the prophets, Almighty Prophet of Jeremiah. They started saying all kinds of stuff. But he said, who do ye say that I am? And Peter spoke up, being the leader that he was, and said, if thou art the Christ, in other words, the Messiah, the anointed one, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, the flesh and blood did not reveal that to him. See, you couldn't know that in your flesh, in your humanity. He says, but my Father which is in heaven is the one who gave you that revelation. And upon that rock, the rock of the revelation of God by his Holy Spirit, to me and you, he will build his church. Now the church is not the building. We know that. It's a good thing we have a place to meet and all that. But you are the church. You have been called out. God has called you out of the world. He's called you to be separated, sanctified, set apart to his purposes in the world. So we have an impact on the world, each one of us. And so what do we do to maximize that? How do we get the most out of this? I'm enjoying it. I loved everything I heard Pastor Lucas say, and it was like it was kind of, you know, falling right in line with what we're talking about. And some of it you'll see even overlaps a little bit. So we want to talk about you as the informed team. Now I want to also zoom in on that word team. You know, none of us operate independently. It's important that you realize that you are part of a team. And even in the several divisions where God has put you within your own particular churches, I've talked to different people here from various churches, you are part of a team. You know, if a team starts working against itself, what would happen? Could we expect to accomplish anything big? I don't think so. I think we'll be our own worst enemy. So to work as a team is a very important thing. Realize that God, the over-shepherd, through his son Christ, has called each person to be a part of that team. You know, I'm blessed about it. I just get happy all about that, all by itself. I'm a part of God's team. And even if I'm not the pastor, I'm on the team. I don't have to be the pastor. I don't have to get the glory. As long as the Lord gets the glory, I'm happy. And so we're going to move right into this just a touch here. We are presenting, as we mentioned, this particular topic. Blessed to be here at this conference. Every year this is a blessing. It seems as though you go away from here with some new thoughts in your mind, and it does really bless you very well. And so some of our affiliations are here. But now I want to take a brief spiritual survey. Of course, these websites I want to mention also. We'll post this PowerPoint, and the audio from this will be posted online. Right now you'll have to go to teachingbible.org. You can go to sttmbc.com. There's a link on that page in the welcome section, because we haven't finished building the site for St. Timothy yet. But there is a link to link you over to teachingbible.org, which has been online for quite a while. And you'll be able to hear this and also bring this PowerPoint back up in case you want to review what we're discussing here this morning. So I'd like to take a minute for a spiritual oral leadership survey from you. What do you think? And you don't have to answer these out loud, but maybe you may want to, and that's okay. What are the most important features of your church leadership? What would you say? Think about that just a minute before you say anything. Or the most important features of the leadership in your church, and basically, what is your greatest challenge leading in a particular area? Anybody in any leadership role? Is there a youth minister here? Is there somebody in a particular over a particular auxiliary that might want to answer this? What do you think? Tell me something about your church, somebody. Go ahead.
At our church, we have direction.
Okay. And speak up. You say we have direction?
We have direction. Mm-hmm. We have a lots of love.
Okay. Direction, love.
There's a goal.
And a goal. That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's pretty good. So that's what you need. You need direction. You need a goal somewhere to say, okay, like when somebody used this illustration, they talked about, suppose you had a basketball game and with no hoops on the end. What would the people do? Just run around out there, you know. We don't know where to go. But the goal is you get this ball down there to that hoop as many times as you can in the given amount of time. So the goal is important. Direction is important. Think about who is it, Vince Lombardi. This is a football, whoever it was. You got to know, what are we doing? Why are we here? What is our purpose? How do we get from point A to point B? So those things you mentioned are good. Anybody else? Canary?
In the leadership, too, you need to be a visible person. You need to be a person that people see you and they can relate you with that particular ministry. Mm-hmm. And not just be that particular person, you know, and nobody knows you because they never see you. Mm-hmm. And I guess that would encompass also being effective. You have to be effective. You have to be able to work with people and deal with people on an individual basis, and don't expect the same thing out of everybody. Mm-hmm. And as my wife tells me, don't expect everybody to be just like you.
All right. Amen. Amen. Because there are differing gifts in the body. You think about 1 Corinthians, and Paul was having all those issues with the church at Corinth. He had to go and straighten out a lot of mess. Mm-hmm. Because they were all getting all proud and all kinds of different things about who they were, what God was giving them to do. I'm of Peter and I'm of Apollos. Like, those names meant something in the big scheme. In fact, Paul had to say, hey, well, who is Peter? Mm-hmm. Who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We're just servants. Mm-hmm. You see, we're here to serve the Lord. So good, the definite leadership and that type of thing is a great thing when you have that. And I want to ask this question. Do you understand your pastor's vision? That will be the goal that God has given him for your church. Think of your church as one component in a bigger thing that God is doing all over the planet. Because his purpose is to get the good news, the gospel of his son, Jesus Christ, out of our minds, because that's where it's housed. It's housed in our bodies and our minds. It's in his word. But he wants it to go out to every person, every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people. See, we should be impacting the world, not much less just our own neighborhoods. It starts in your neighborhoods, in your church. It flows on out through your families, your friends, your co-workers, and people in your extended family, basically. And so basically, that's what we're doing. And we all understand that. That's kind of basic. So we'll get into some more deeper things here. But I wanted to ask, what were you wanting? What do you think the outcome of this conference would be for you? What were you hoping for when you came? Did you have a particular thing in mind as what this conference would do for you? Anybody? Okay, speak up.
I kind of figured I wasn't going to learn too much new because a lot of things are just reiterated, but I was looking forward to the academic fellowship.
Okay, amen. That's a good purpose. Brother Guzman?
Shim was hit on the same thing. Mm-hmm. Is to, to get to kind of revive yourself. Because sometimes you get a little lackadaisical. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You kind of forget what it's all about. And you need something to get in there to kind of refresh you. And then you can see where you are compared to where you should be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen. Good thoughts. And so what we hope that this will energize you, that you'll go back to your respective churches, your respective positions, with some new energy.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And review is always good. You know what? Most of what preachers do is remind the saints of what God said anyway. It's not that you're so much always learning a bunch of new stuff. You have to watch out for people tell you, we're going to give you some new revelation. What God said, you know, it's a pretty point blank message, you know, and God is dealing with real people.
Right. Amen.
In real situations.
Yes.
You know, that stuff Pastor Lucas said, that ethical stuff, hey, that's real. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I would have told the guy, send me an email and the water goes in
there
and
you
want. I'll put it on you. And you said do this and copy the folks up over him.
Yes,
and
right.
As soon as I get back that okay email from you, I'm good.
That's right.
So you have to add a little something in the mix sometimes.
That's right.
I get that. I get the spiritual gains at work all the time. People looking for a hole in your armor, looking for a way to bring you down, trying stuff, see what I can do here. You know, people above you, especially if they happen not to believe. I mean, that's,
come on now.
You know, they will work with you. So you do have to be, as Jesus said, wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove.
Mm-hmm.
Not trying to do no damage, but I'm not going to take the big load. And I don't like that homeless situation either. So what he is, who can God use as a leader anyway? Mm-hmm. And the answer is, from our view of the word, anybody. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have any pre-existing conditions. You come as you are.
All right.
Whoever you are. Some people haven't taken up a leadership position because you think, God can use me. Mm-hmm. And you allow your flesh, the devil, or some situation in your life to stop you from saying, I'm going to make this thing work better. Mm-hmm. I'm going to step up to the plate. The pastor needs this. We need some help over here. It might be something, the least little thing you might do, you'd be surprised how important it is. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to be some big thing. You don't have to go and do anything major. Small things make a difference to God. Mm-hmm. Though he who is faithful in little shall also be what? Faithful in much, the small things. God's looking at everything. He said, if you give somebody a cold cup of water in my name, it shall not go without a reward.
Amen.
See, so God's not necessarily looking for us all to go and preach and stand down in the stadium and all this kind of thing. He might want you to just go to the child care ministry and clean some of those snotty nose on a Sunday morning. See, that's a good thing. I mean, if you're doing a good thing with a good intention and you're helping move the ministry forward, whatever the ministry needs, so find a lack and see can you fill it. So you can be a leader. There's a lot of things you can do. And even the fallen creation understands, we look at how God made things. People understand following the leader. I mean, animals do. Mm-hmm. They get in line and they just go where they need to go. People don't do that so much. We don't do that. We have a problem with this here. Somebody being ahead and everybody else just doing right. Okay, I'm going to follow the leader. Mm-hmm. No, sometimes we don't do it that way. And so, but anyone is eligible, and it's just like the period of the judges. If you remember that says that was the time, this is the final verse in the book. In those days, there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. It's all about me, what I want to do, my agenda. See, we don't have time to get in line and do what we ought to do. But we don't think that way. That's the fallen mind tends to want to take us down the road of all about me. See, so we have to lose that attitude, especially in the church, because we're working together. If we're going to be a cohesive team, we have to understand the pastor's vision. If you don't, I know him. You can talk to him. He'll tell you. If he hasn't already made it very plain to you, and there's something you don't understand, he is very approachable. I'm sure all the pastors I see here are approachable. I know most of these men who are here and women that are representing the Lord. And if you go to them, I think they will help you understand. If there's anything you're not clear about, ask somebody. Amen. Don't get like this. This was a terrible period in Israel's history. We've all read the book of Judges. So as Pastor quoted earlier, pastors have a vision for building the kingdom. They're thinking and being given this information from the Lord himself. How he does that is a mystical kind of a thing, how God lets you know what you need to do and where your influence will make the best impact for the kingdom. He said, I will give you pastors after my own heart. See that? To feed you on knowledge and understanding. So he does that. God does his part all the time. And he's always doing it. And the whole thing is, are we willing to line up with what the vision is and find out where is my place? There is a place for you. I want you to know that. It's always a place where you fit in. There's some things you can do no one else can do. You've been designed for particular things in your life that no one else can do. There's no two of us exactly alike. Even if you happen to have an identical twin in this room, you'll find out that your character and the makeup of how you do things is radically different. But you've been designed for a particular purpose that you can feel. And if you pray about it, God will show it to you. Mm-hmm. He'll show you, how can I make my church better? How can I get in line with the pastor's vision? How can we move that vision forward? And so this is the kind of thing we want to talk about here. Now, I have a couple of examples. And who is this church that is informed, okay? And how does that come about? Everyone who has been gifted by God through his Holy Spirit has been equipped. You have all been equipped in a leadership capacity to some degree, whether it be your own personal family to start with, perhaps, or some organization you belong to. Think about all the ministries in your church. I've listed a few here. But somewhere you can fall in, there's a place where you can fit and serve the Lord. And nobody, there's no big guys or little U's. Think about Paul writing to Onesimus. He was a runaway slave. He was at Philemon's house, and he stole something from him and said, I'm getting out of here, get in the road. That was not good what he did. He ended up by God's providence in the presence of Paul in Rome. And Paul told him the gospel, he got saved, and then he sent him back. Told him, go back, here, take this letter, go back to Philemon, make up with him, give him this letter, and everything will be fine. And I just put that up to show you that no matter what you've done, how far your transgressions have gone, the Lord can use you if you turn around. If you turn around and repent, and there's no big eyes, little U's, he sent him right back to the guy he had left from, that he stole from, told him, go back, and Paul explained, he's saved now. And he will be a good minister to you. And I like to keep him here for me, because I'm in a situation here. But I'm sending him back to you so he can make amends for what he did. Mm-hmm. So this is what we need to understand. There's no big eyes, little U's. Read that in Philemon. You'll find these verses are pretty well helpful there if you haven't had a chance to read the epistle to Philemon. That's one people skip over a lot in the New Testament. It's an awesome story, though, of forgiveness. And it shows you the grace of God in a very, very powerful way. The fact that God's grace knows no limits. It can reach down to any person, no matter what circumstance they're in. Meaning that Paul is given this from the prison. It's one of the prison epistles that he writes. Okay. All members are capable of leading to a deeper, more correct understanding of the gospel. Okay. What we're doing in everything that we do is always trying to communicate the gospel to whoever it is. And you know what? We come to a deeper, richer understanding of the gospel ourselves. Mm-hmm. As Pastor Lucas was saying there, if you start thinking about the fact that you model Christ for somebody, you know, you learn to be more Christ-like the more you walk with Christ. The more you yield yourself to the Word. Those attitudinal changes that need to be made. The only one who can do that is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You know, my wife would like to just slap some stuff into me sometimes, but it doesn't work. She found that out. The fact is, you understand that some changes and adjustments have to be made by the Spirit. All the ones that are lasting, that really are going to be good, the Holy Spirit has to do it. We've been teaching through Romans recently here, and we've been getting into a lot of that, talking about making yourself more moldable and pliable by God's Holy Spirit. See, the Spirit is always there with you, never leaves you. He's in you, like Jesus said, I'll be with you always. That's what he meant. I'm going to fill you and be in you and just possess you, if you will. We understand possession if it's Satan or a demon trying to possess somebody. But we seem like, we act like we don't understand being possessed by the Holy Spirit.
All right.
You know, that's the same thing now, except it's God here.
All
that's
right.
The Bible says, greater is he what?
That is in
you than he is in the world. See? And you know what? If he's in there, demons aren't coming in there.
All right.
I'll let you know now. Why would the Holy Spirit let demons come into his people? Think it through. You got a lot of twisted doctrine out here. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Think about that. If you are filled, now you might get into some bad practices. You know what? I've just said this, and I have to share this with you. The flesh is worse than the devil. People want to say the devil. No, the devil is not omnipresent. He's not like God at all. Don't go give the devil the credit that he's bothering everybody all the time. No. He can't be. He is not omnipresent. But you know, and I said this in Bible study, and I think it needs to be said here, you are omnipresent to you. The one I can't get away from is this one. Even when I'm in my bed asleep, this one is here. You know, wherever I go, this one is here. You know, so the flesh, as Jesus said, John 6:63, profits nothing. It is the Spirit that gives life. He said, the words that I speak to you, they are Spirit and they are life. So in some sense, to your own personal self, you are omnipresent, right? Because you're here. You don't ever go away. You're omnipresent to you, not to me or anybody else. See, so that's the one that we really have more trouble with, is the flesh.
Amen.
Okay? And we like to give the credit to the devil or somebody else. No, it's me. I'm the problem. See, and I have to make some adjustments here, and I can't really do it either. You know what? It's not by might nor by power, but what? By my Spirit, said the Lord. See? So the Lord needs to make some adjustments in here. He's the one fixing up the house, if you will. Mm-hmm.
Right.
See? So if we don't allow it, that's part of the problem. First, we have to take responsibility for who we are and how we are, all of that. Put that stuff on the altar. That's why I love to come to the Lord's table. It's at the Lord's table where you deal with these kind of things. Mm-hmm. We come to the Lord's table. That's what it's for. Get sincere when you come there. Realize this is holy ground. This is a representation of Christ, your Savior, who died for you, was buried and rose again. And he's showing up here. Do this in remembrance of me.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
As often as you do this. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't think about him, and then when I think about him and think about me, it's like, woo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, oh, he's so beyond me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And when I come in fear and trembling.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Don't come to the table flipping about taking this as just a ritual. No.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm. You got to get right. Get sincere with the Lord. This is going to help you in whatever you're doing. Okay? Here's another example I just put up there for you to see that it doesn't make any difference. You don't have to be a seminary student. This is the only person I found in the Word where it says he was mighty in the Scriptures. That blows me away. About Apollos. And who fixed him up? He was saying stuff right. He had the right doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
But Aquila and Priscilla,
mm-hmm.
they were just average church people, if you will. Churchgoers mm-hmm. had to come pull him aside. Hey, did you hear about and explain the gospel?
Mm-hmm.
Then he was on fire.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't hear much else about Apollos, but he went on. He was from Alexandria. It says there, man, eloquent man. That means he spoke well and articulated language well. And he was mighty in the Scriptures. He came to Ephesus while Paul was there. When Paul was there visiting in Ephesus, and it says here, this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't understand that Christ already came, was crucified, buried, mm-hmm. and risen, and ascended. And when they went and told him the word of God, the way of God more perfectly, he got it. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like the Ethiopian eunuch. I didn't put him in here, but he's another one. He got the message. He was on his way home from the temple.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have what he needed. Still searching.
Mm-hmm.
And Philip had to tell him about the gospel of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, there's some water stop the chariot right there. Let's get down and then back to him.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't going to wait another second. You know, once he got the understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Spirit of the Lord called Philip away. Didn't need him anymore. Once you're energized with the Holy Spirit,
yeah,
he will lead you and guide you to all truth.
Yeah.
You have the Word and the Spirit. It's very important. So we need to see. And there is, like, look who did this. Aquila and Priscilla.
Mm-hmm.
A husband and a wife. Doesn't say they were anything necessarily so great or large, but they just simply shared the truth with a man who already knew the Scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you can do it. That's my point. You are capable of leading to a higher level. So what is godly leadership? We've had quite a bit on this topic already. Godly leadership is that which gives glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
It displays the majesty of God. Apply these things to your concept of leadership. It promotes God's kingdom purposes. Trust completely in the Scriptures. Because a lot of deceitful stuff out here is not biblical. You have to learn how to sift through it. And operates in love. Okay? If what we're doing, that's kind of what the pastor hit on a little earlier there. Sometimes it's not so much that I'm right about a thing or wrong about a thing or the word says this or that. If a person doesn't get it and they're offended by it, love says don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it. Don't offend your brother or your sister. See? So sometimes love trumps knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, the Bible says, but love edifies, right? And so we have to understand that. So love is greater and more important. And so these are the things that kind of characterize godly leadership. Now, this is something I thought was important to talk about because succession planning is crucial. Do you ever think about, I always think about that the earth is always occupied by about 3 generations of people. At one time, there may be 4 if somebody happens to be blessed to go on that long. You hear about some greats and some great-greats and all that kind of thing. But most of the time, it's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You see, the Bible talks about that. It's 3 generations, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So look at your own situation. You know there's going to be another generation coming up behind you. They need to be equipped. So, and even the church. The church has got to be perpetual. It's a perpetual entity. the churches who are thinking right are preparing another generation of leaders so that they can just see a seamless transition from one thing to another. See? Because we don't know. I don't know how long I'll be around. That's something high, went higher on my list when I was called a pastor St. Timothy. Mm-hmm. So now I need to start to nurture some more people in a succession, because the transition to that position was nearly seamless. And I thought about how, what a blessing that was compared to some of the churches that I have seen that went into utter chaos if anything happened to the pastor.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I've seen it over and over. I see it all around town. The Lord allowed me some space out of pastoral ministry to take a look and see what the church was doing. Mm-hmm. You know, and the church is extremely important. I always think of myself as an attendant to Christ's bride. I'm not the bride, I'm the attendant to the bride. Right. I'm helping the bride get her stuff together. When they're going to come together, right, and the marriage is time for the bride midnight, mm-hmm, that she'll be ready.
Mm-hmm.
See, so I hold the church in high esteem. That means every one of you, anybody in the church at all, anywhere. See, and that's the way we should feel. We ought to have an elevated opinion about the church.
Mm-hmm.
See, a lot of people don't. They kind of think of it as, hey, I'm going to go to church. Mm-hmm. And they really don't have it in their heart that this is the bride of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And she needs to continue on until the cry comes, behold, the bridegroom cometh. And he is coming. We don't know when it'll be, but it's the very next event on the Lord's calendar, is the return of Christ. So we should be dressed in readiness, as the word says.
Mm-hmm.
See, prepared. You have your lamps trimmed to be ready to go out to meet him. So the succession of doctrine is important. We want to make sure that the same word that we received, the word that blessed us, got us saved, the word that's been passed down through the generations, is right. And Peter says it here, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. I like what the sister said there. You know, we come here to get refreshed, mm-hmm, to just remember the principles of what God has said.
Amen.
That's important. And you know why? We meet. I'm going to confess for myself, thank you. Maybe you don't. Maybe you can remember everything and you lock it in and that's it. I'm locking. No, but we actually leak. So Peter said that he wants to, he says he will make it, he put forth an effort to make sure that he could always put you in remembrance by stirring up your sincere mind. You see that? Mm-hmm. Knowing that I shortly must put off this my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus has showed me. And that was right in John 21. He told him that somebody's going to, he said, when you were young, you went where you wanted, but when you get old, somebody else is going to bind you and take you somewhere you don't want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And that he spoke to prophesy his death,
mm-hmm,
when they were walking on the beach after Peter had taken the disciples back out fishing in John 21. So Peter remembers that, and he writes it here in verse 14. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, that ye, I like King James for that reason, that ye means all of you. It's the plural of you.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you see ye when you see that. And to me, that's important. It's a little tiny detail. But it's not one person that you, it's all of you. We will say y'all. All y'all. I will endeavor that ye all may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. So the succession of doctrine is important. As a leader, you want to make sure you pass down exactly what God said to the next generation. I speak that to every generation. We don't know. I'd like to stay around for four more generations. That would be wonderful if the Lord doesn't return. Now, otherwise, I don't know. You see, you have to make preparation. And we also want the succession of pastoral leadership. It's very important that we have a generation of pastors. That's why this conference is excellent. We hope that we're stirring fires in some of the younger people, and not necessarily just younger, whoever you are, if you feel the call of the Lord to do what God tells you. Understand the perpetual nature of the church. You see, God wants you to move forward in faith. He wants there always to be the presence, and there will. We know there will, but it's just good to be stirred up and to be thinking about it.
Amen.
You see, because we don't know. Succession of pastoral leadership is very important. And Paul, of course, nurtured Timothy. He nurtured Titus, and you see him giving mention of them in the letters that he wrote, so people would know these guys are approved. You can trust what they say.
Amen.
You see, so we want to be continuing to do that. And it can be your family, your people in your group, whatever your little subgroup may be within the church. But you always want to be doing that. Think about succession, because it's something that we have to do. That's why we cannot afford to contaminate the doctrine. We want everything exactly the way the Lord said it. Now, I want to just give you an example where I know time gets away so quick when we start to indulge into these things. And time's always working against us. That's one thing I was telling my wife this. I'm just going to digress for a minute. When we were coming in, one of the things I look forward to is being in the eternal state. Mm-hmm. That's where God is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Time was created for us.
Yes.
In the beginning, God created the heavens mm-hmm. and the earth. Mm-hmm. And so in time, we're limited in what we can accomplish. Mm-hmm. You know, I would love to play all the saxophones. I love them all.
Mm-hmm.
The trombone, I don't have time to go study them all. Or the piano, I can start naming off instruments. In eternity, you won't be limited of time.
Mm-hmm.
You have all the time to do anything you ever want, because there won't be any time. Time won't be anymore. That's a pleasant, just a pleasant thought that crossed my mind. I thought I'd share with you. My Pastor Lucas is into golf. I've been hearing here. I haven't had a chance to indulge that either. I might like to learn how to get out there and make my way around 18 holes or something. I'm looking like a crazy man. But that's not so right now. But I mean, you just have time. That's one of those things God is laying up for us. But I want you to see he was preparing individuals all the time. And this is not a new thing. This is not just a New Testament thing. He prepared Timothy, and he said that he, as you see toward 2 Timothy, would be about the last epistle that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church, and actually to Timothy, and just to let him know that I'm passing the baton, and you need to be ready. He talked to him about some of the weaknesses that he had, things that he should tighten up, things he should put in check, things that he should look over, and things that he should ramp up a little bit on. Like, for example, don't be timid, he told him. Don't be exceptionally timid. Don't let people push you around. If you have the truth, stand in your authority. See? And people who are false that are coming in with stuff that's not so. And all of these things. And he even told him, remember where it came from. It came from your mother and your grandmother. So the way you raise your kids is involved in this. See, it was in you through Eunice and Lois, it says, that your mother and your grandmother. And he said, I'm persuaded it's also in you. So it's something we're passing down, and we want to continue to think about that. It's a good thing for leaders to keep these things in mind. Amen. But now let's look back here just a minute. In Exodus 18, we have a scenario here where the 18, and let's see, we're looking at verse 13, and it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning until evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, what is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning until evening? And Moses said unto his father-in-law, because the people come to me to inquire of God. So pastors have a heavy load on them, dealing with everybody in the church. And when they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one another, and I do make them to know the statutes of God and his laws. We get called for funerals, for weddings, for all kinds of spiritual matters. Heavy load. Now notice this. Jethro said, this is the father-in-law, who comes back to Moses, as you all know how the story goes, bringing his wife and his kids. You so busy doing all this, and I am coming back. He was a Midian priest, he's called Jethro. And he's bringing his wife and his kids, and Moses' father-in-law said unto him, the thing that thou doest is not good. Even though it's a great thing, but it's not good. Something's wrong with that. Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee. This thing is too heavy for thee, and thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. God never intended for the pastor to have that kind of a load on him. People need to find what areas underneath that you can fulfill and take the load off your pastor.
Amen.
So he can enjoy his family and do the things that he's supposed to do. He's just like us, or just like you, or anyone else. And so Jethro gave him good counsel. People often think of, ask about Jethro. Of course, it says he was the priest of Midian. Midian was one of the sets of people born to Keturah and Abraham, if you look in Genesis 25. And so we see that even in that set of people, there are six sons born, I think, there to Keturah in Genesis 25. And the Midian priest Jethro here comes up now to to Moses to, of course, to, still in the Lord, he's a godly person, even though he came from somewhere else. So we see here in the Moses and Jethro scenario, leadership and organization are indispensable components for the success of anything. Gotta have good leadership. God has always called leadership for his chosen people. The church is in that same category. We are the chosen people. Now, the church consists of both Jews and Gentiles who believe in Christ. Mm-hmm. So there is the Jew, the Gentile, and the church of God. We have three divisions in the world now. And in spite of this, Moses was unable to effectively lead all the people alone. And so Jethro had to come and straighten him out there. Moses had chosen to set his own family aside to attempt to lead God's chosen people alone. And Jethro came and rebuked him and gave him a godly solution to his problem. Oversee and delegate. See, so if you got too much load, and I'm learning this myself, tell me, watch this, I'm preaching to the choir, if you will. I'm preaching to my own self. Because I definitely have some new responsibilities now, in addition to doing the prison ministry and outreach. And God has blessed me, though I thank him, with some people who are on fire for Christ.
Amen.
And they've been getting prepared a long time for the time when we came together, and we're ready to take the city by storm. So we thank God for that. But I do have to get accustomed to overseeing and delegating, because I haven't had a lot of help in my church or in my organization. Only certain volunteers, and sometimes you can't put too much demand on volunteers. And so I'm balancing a lot of things here too, and I invite you to pray for me in that regard as I embark on the ministry that the Lord has given me. But being a good husband and father must not be sacrificed for the sake of any office in the church. So check your life. If there need some help, find somebody. There's somebody there. God will always provide what you need so you can be a leader, so it doesn't have to overtake you and saturate you, which would be too much to do. So no one can do it alone, and neither should they have to do it alone. You see, you can step up. Somebody here can step up and fill in a gap that has been left undone. So God calls and equips pastors and gifts the flock in order to reach a spiritual goal and to build up his kingdom. He does that. Every congregation is situated that way. He calls and gifts and equips the pastor, and he gives them gifted people. Now, this is what I want to talk about, as you being informed. In other words, there are people in the church that may be under the pastor, that may be, as he mentioned, more educated. They may be more gifted in some areas. We don't sit and say we have a monopoly on the gifts. We don't. Some of you are gifted to do certain things. For example, my wife, for example, I'll mention her. She has administrative gifts. She does stuff I couldn't even begin to do. I would just I'd probably start speaking in tongues backwards. I don't know what I would do if I had to sit and make financial records. You know, I just don't do that. It's not my character. I can't do that at all. I wouldn't attempt to. If I do it, you're not going to like what it looks like. You're going to say, what in the world is this? You know, and certainly I'm not going to have get the attention of a bank or any kind of thing like that. Because, man, have you lost your mind? You know, go get somebody. Well, there's people who have gifts in the body. Whatever you do, you could be a chemist. You could be, I don't know what you do. I mean, whatever you do, God has gifted people. He's given us all spiritual gifts. Be quick to exercise your gifts.
Amen.
Find somewhere where you can utilize what you do, and it doesn't mean the pastor has to do everything. It's a good thing that, think about them building the tabernacle, and God gave him all kinds of craftsmen and masons and all kinds of people for the work that he needed done. And he got it all done. It was all done. All he needed was the vision from Moses, and God started stepping up people, and they started to contribute the funds, whatever it took. Some of you may have a gift of giving. You know, if you do, put the money down. Help the church get things done that it needs to be done. And let God use you and channel money through you if he can do that, if you happen to be gifted in that way. Whatever it is, realize that God is glorified in how he places the gifts in the body. God is glorified when all the gifts work in harmony without bitter envy, jealousy, strife, contention, dissension, pride, and stonewalling. These are some of the things we do because of the flesh. We want to say the devil's doing it, but it's not the devil, it's me. I'm the one that's proud of, I don't want to see so-and-so do that. Or, you know, we trample over each other instead of saying, okay, you know, see it as it is, and the problem is with me. And these are the things I want to bring to that altar, to the Lord's table. If I'm envious or jealous or prideful or somebody hurt my feelings and whatever it is, think about Jesus and what he went through. You know, somebody spit on him. They did all kinds of stuff. Yeah. If one of us, we probably would, like Pastor said, it'd be all out of war. You come over here like that. Me, you know, that's coming. And I was telling my wife this. We talk a lot, as you can tell. You know, the whole thing is, if the person is more powerful than you or has more authority, we say, vengeance is mine, let the Lord deal with it. But if it's somebody we think is our equal or someone perhaps we might think is under us some kind of way, it's all war. And we want to walk over them and overpower them. So absolute power corrupts, is the word said, or the word that said, Pastor Hamilton said that, wasn't it? Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. We have a tendency to want to overrun people who are, we think, are our equal or less. People who are more, have more power and authority, we kind of cower. And that's just a human characteristic. But all these things we have to release from ourselves through valuable prayer. And humility is when we accept those things, like he mentioned. I keep thinking about what he said about Joseph and all the people. You see Daniel. You can go through the whole Bible. You'll find all kinds of people who humbled themselves and allowed God to work their situation out. And he kept moving them forward regardless of what they were going through. No matter what they were going through, he was there helping them through it. And he said that, lo, I am with you always. I want to remind you that. Mm-hmm. And he says, yea, though you walk, what, through the valley of the shadow of death, you shall fear no evil. Why?
Thou art with me.
See, you say you ain't going through the valley. You're going to go through. But I'm going with you. And my rod and my staff will comfort you as you go through. I'm going to instruct you, guide you, lead you, help you all the way as you go through. And you're going to come out. There's going to be a table prepared for you in the presence of your enemies. Question.
There's also a way that not just going through your spirit and not through your flesh. Mm-hmm. As long as we remain in our flesh, we feed the devil, like in Genesis. But man, we're made from the dust of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And when God cursed the serpent, he said you should eat the dust of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we remain in our flesh, we're feeding him. And we can't say we haven't been feeding him, because in Genesis he's a snake, and in Revelation he's a dragon. We've been feeding this thing, and we, as long as we're feeding him, we're giving them power for the problems of that destiny, because we don't have a problem with that, with our purpose. We just have a problem with the problem that's attached to our purpose that God given us.
Yeah, well, see, this is where, that's why Paul calls on us to do spiritual warfare. Okay? Because we wrestle not, like you said, against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Now, let's say this. I don't want to go too far to the extreme to say that there aren't wicked forces working against you. Absolutely, they are. You know, and but they're not necessarily in you. That's the point I want you to see. But they will come to you through someone else. Just as the serpent had to take on, the devil had to take on the body of a serpent to do what he did. The demons have to get in somebody who doesn't believe God and come and do what they do. They can't come in you. They've been excluded if you're saved. If you're saved, God's not going to occupy the place with a demon. I guarantee you that. You know, who's the greatest? If there was a fight there, who's going to win? So, but you can allow other people can creep in, like he said, and they'll come in and they'll get you in the flesh. They want you to go in the flesh, as has been Pastor mentioned that earlier. They like to get on your last nerve. So I can see how much of a Christian are you. You know, if I can find that last nerve, I'm just
going
to So you do have to be prepared. And you know what? That's where he said, what? Put on the whole armor of God. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So he's got schemes. He's got to have schemes and wicked devices that he uses through the sons of disobedience who he works in order to get you and knock you off your pins if he can. I'll knock you down, I'm going to get somebody over here, I'm going to get somebody over there, coming every which way. See, but you have to be prayed up and keep your mind stayed on the Lord. So we're almost done. See, there looks like we're about to deliver lunch here in just a minute. But in either case, use your God-given gifts with an attitude of a servant. See, we get lofty about who we are and what we're doing, that's going to mess us up. Build up the church, don't build yourself up. Gifts are to edify the church, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Get this attitude like Psalm 84:10, for day in thy courts is better than the fowls. I'd rather be the doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked, or tents of wickedness. See what I'm saying? Find what you can do, whatever it is, and you can get in there and enjoy it. Amen. So, since you have taken this course, I have a special treat for you. You will now receive the certificate. Spiritually, you take this spiritual certificate and you have been here and learning to be a better informed leader. Amen. On this beautiful day in May, signed Pastor Carl Lucas and Landis Fisher. Y'all may say, put your money where your mouth is.
Hey. Go ahead.